Gospel scripture today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. Listen now to the word of our Lord. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. N.A. Freeman tells a story about when she was just a student nurse. She was assigned to care for a young man who was stricken with this paralyzing disease, and he had lost his ability to speak, although his understanding and his intelligence were unimpaired. Well, Miss Freeman was determined to keep this young man cheerful, and so day in, day out, she talked to him about the weather and baseball scores, latest movies. She even talked to him about her classmate who eloped. Whatever came to her mind, she talked to him about. Well, months later, Miss Freeman received this summons to his doctor's office to see what progress her ex-patient had made, and his speech therapist explained that she had been invited to hear the first words that her patient had spoken in 3 years, the words that he had asked to be taught first. Well, as she walked in, she was greeted by this big smile on this young man's face, and he said very carefully, forming his words, "Please, Miss Freeman, shut up." This young man, of course, was having fun with his nurse, but I guess after all that time, he was really excited because he was the one doing the talking. It must be frustrating not to be able to communicate. One of the real inconveniences of aging is a gradual loss of hearing that many people experience. You may have heard about the man who bragged that he had just purchased the finest hearing aid available, and a friend asked him, "What kind is it?" And he says, "About 230. Get it? I believe it was Helen Keller who, when asked whether she would rather have sight or hearing, said that she would rather be able to hear. The loss of hearing is really an isolating experience. It cuts us all off from others. It puts us at a great disadvantage in any type of relationship. And such was the plight of this man who was brought to Jesus. He had not only lost his hearing, but his ability to speak as well. He was cut off from the world, cut off from his family, his friends, cut off from the people who were all around him. He was one of the nameless, forgotten people of society. He was fortunate, though. He was fortunate because he had some friends. That's the first thing we want to see today. He had friends who brought him to Jesus. David Levinson has written a book titled The Seasons of a Man's Life, and in examining the factors that contribute to the development, growth, success of people, he discovered three primary factors which seem to be essential to success. And the first is having a great vision. A great vision, a driving dream, really, that moves and motivates you to do something with your life. The second thing common to the most successful people he studied was that they had each found a teacher. A teacher who could instruct and help them along the way. Not only did they need a vision, but we also need some folks who have had visions before us, who can walk beside us and point us in the right way. And there was another commonality among these successful people. They each had a deeply personal and significant relationship with at least one other person, someone who would support them in accomplishing their dreams. These were the folks who would walk with them through difficult times, even when it seemed as though the dream would never come true. In short, they had a friend. This man who could neither hear nor speak had something far more valuable than either hearing or voice. He had friends. And more importantly, his friends were determined to see that he got the help that he needed. Write that down. His friends were determined to see that he got the help that he needed. We call some people our friends who are simply social acquaintances. We smile, we say hi, they may even invite us to a party, but most of them don't care enough about us to intervene when they see that we might be in trouble. Quite a while back actually, the Betty Ford story was aired on television, which was produced with the help of Betty Ford herself, and it dealt with her addiction to prescription drugs and alcohol, and she was overwhelmed by the stresses of being the first lady, and she also had debilitating pain from arthritis. And these factors eventually led her to pain pills and finally to alcohol. Well, fortunately, her family loved her enough to confront her with her problems. And in kind of the most powerful scene of this movie, her family shares their love and concern for her one by one, and they tell her that she has become addicted to prescription medicine, that she has become an alcoholic. At first, Mrs. Ford denies that she has a problem, but her family is persistent with their love and eventually convince her to seek help. And in this moving scene in the show, Susan, the youngest child, says to her mother this. She says, "Mother, always before, when you had a problem, you turned to God and to your family, but lately you have shut us out. You have turned to medicine and drinking, and you are killing yourself." That took courage on Susan's part, but she wasn't just a daughter. She was a friend. When you see friends in trouble, you seek to intervene. You have to make certain that they get the help that they need. And so it was with this man whose friends had brought him to see Jesus. They believed that Jesus could help him. Jesus was filled with love and compassion for this man. He took him aside, away from the crowd, spoke with him in private. Jesus put his fingers to this man's ears, then he spat, touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and he commanded, "Ephphatha, be open." The man could hear at once and he could speak without impediment. He was free. This man was now free to lead a productive life. He was no longer an outcast who could not communicate with others. He was a whole person, unimpeded thanks to Jesus. And this man discovered that he not only had friends in the people who had brought him that day, he also had a friend in Jesus. It's interesting, though, I think, Jesus' method of healing this man. He put his fingers in the man's ears, then spat and touched the man's tongue. And this was far more dramatic than Jesus' normal practice. Normally, he just spoke and healing took place, right? But this time, was different. It reminds me of something I read about a lady by the name of Lindsay Reynolds. Lindsay was diagnosed at one time in her life as having this borderline personality disorder, a psychosis, and she even spent some time in a mental hospital. And among the patients at the hospital while she was there was this young English boy, and he had this private room. Everyone else was just envious. All the other patients, she said about 35 of them, had to eat in this tiny dining room where they tended to get on each other's nerves. But this young English boy did not have to sit in that same dining room. He was catatonic, rarely gave any signs of awareness, although he often stood just outside of his room looking superior, or so Lindsay thought. Well, one day it was just too much for her, and she took off at top speed from one end of the hall and tackled him as he stood outside his room. The young man went flying in the air, but he came down right on top of Lindsay, started flailing away with his fist. He beat her with all of his strength. He screamed to her in the foulest of language, even though he hadn't said anything for over a year. It was really kind of a spectacular scene, him saying anything. Well, soon after that, the young fellow got discharged. One day, sometime later, Lindsay was walking the ward when the young fellow's doctor came up to her. He told her that her tackling of that young man was probably the best thing that ever happened to him. He said, "I don't think that anything could have helped him more. He's moving about and talking all the time now." It was this tremendous cathartic release for this young English boy, just what he had needed. Lindsay, though, had no altruistic motives. She was actually being hostile at the time. But it helped to heal the young man regardless. You see, Jesus' methods in treating this man who could not hear or speak were different from his standard operating procedure. But they worked. Evidently, they were just what this man needed. And I think that's an important insight for us to remember. Jesus does not treat us as we might choose to be treated. Instead, he treats us in ways that meet our needs. We're often discouraged because we pray and things don't get better for us, or maybe they even get worse. But hang in there. Jesus knows our needs. And whatever he does for us will be exactly right. We may not see his hand at work in our lives. We may not understand his methods, but he is there. He cares for us. He will heal us. And think about it. If Christ befriended us, so we ought to befriend others. That's what the church really is all about, isn't it? It's about being a friend. It's about reaching out to others as Christ reached out to us. One last story. A new student, a young boy, was brought into a second grade vacation Bible school class, and the young fellow was missing an arm, and since the class was almost over, the teacher didn't have an opportunity to learn what happened to this young boy or his state of adjustment to the whole situation. And she, of course, was very nervous and afraid that one of the children would comment on his missing arm and embarrass him. And since she had no opportunity to caution the children, she proceeded very carefully, as carefully as possible as she could. And as the class time came to a close, she began to relax, and she asked the children to join her in their closing ceremony. "Let's make our churches," she said. "Here's the church, there's the steeple. Open the door at..." The awesome consequence of her action struck her. She had done the very thing that she was afraid the children were going to do. And as she stood there, her face turning red, the little girl sitting next to that little boy reached over, placed her left hand on his right hand, and said, "Let's make the church together. Let's make the church together." That's the church. Friends helping friends. Christ befriended us. Might we also befriend others? So may it be. Amen.